after 100 days, what's the view among the tech community in and around the People's Republic of Berkeley? That Californian city gets the nickname there for its progressive views. But then, as Alison van Diggelen has been finding, attitudes aren't actually quite as straightforward as you might think.
There's a time when the operation of the machine becomes so odious that you can't take part. And you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop. And you've got to indicate to the people who run it, to the people who own it, that unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
That was Berkeley student activist Mario Savio in 1964. Once again, Berkeley has become a flashpoint of political protest. The election of Donald Trump left many people in Silicon Valley shocked and outraged. Coder Nick O'Neill was dumbfounded last November, but by Inauguration Day, he'd found his voice. He launched an app called Five Calls that makes it easy for citizens to become political activists. His app has enabled over 1 million phone calls to members of Congress in all 50 states. In US politics, old-fashioned phone calls are still the most effective leverage.
People have tweeted at us and said, I've never been able to get involved before. I've literally never called my representatives before. But because we put the phone numbers and the scripts and the issues all together in a single place, that helped them get over that hump and make that first call. And now they realize it's easy.
O'Neill is just one of hundreds of Silicon Valley techies leveraging tech skills and a startup mentality to create a resistance movement. Apps and projects include Tech Stands Up, Track Trump, Swing Left, and the Tech for Campaigns project. But not all tech reactions are partisan. At the Free Speech Movement Cafe on Berkeley's campus, I met with Ash Batt, a 20-year-old student. He explains how Trump's rhetoric felt personal for many, especially his Muslim and undocumented classmates. But it was a violent demonstration against a right-wing provocateur on campus that inspired him to act.
Anarchists came in, started breaking our windows. It was just horrific to watch. And I just remember being in my rhetoric class and going to whitehouse.org and looking through the source code, and I was like, hey, this looks pretty scrapable.
Batt found that he can scrape or extract data updates from the White House every time an executive order is signed. He launched the Presidential Actions app, and his team now boasts tens of thousands of users across the political spectrum. They've resisted partnerships with partisan groups.
As a technologist and someone in tech, it's almost a responsibility for us to build software that helps inform the public, be compassionate toward both sides, and provide unbiased bipartisan information. There's a lot of talk around like the resistance, like things like that. My worry is that like being too tied to a polarized side will like just feed to the echo chamber, right?
How will he ensure the presidential actions information is unbiased?
We're going and taking the actual like documents that come out of the White House, so first-hand primary documents. We're also looking at summarization algorithms that, as opposed to like subjectively summarizing the contents, the summarization algorithms will go through and make a more objective summary of the content. We want to be able to like present the news to our viewers and our users so that they can come to their political conclusion completely by themselves.
But the tech resistance isn't all bits and bytes. Remarkably, old-fashioned ink and paper is part of its arsenal. Chris Shipley has advised over 1,500 startups in Silicon Valley. After the Women's March in Washington, D.C., she was inspired to create the first 100 Days project to chronicle citizen activism in stunning visual images. Her Indiegogo campaign aims to make commemorative postcards and a book. Why so old school?
There is something to me that is ephemeral about digital media. It's a wonderful expression, wonderful reach, but then go to the next URL and we're on to something else. And so a book, a postcard, a piece of something that you can hold in your hands, to me, has this reminder effect. Be reminded of those conversations that were happening in Washington, D.C., in San Francisco, in Seattle, one march after another.
Shipley admits that her project is aimed at progressives, but is emphatic that they want to be heard and listened to the other side too.
Too many people in Silicon Valley stood back from politics. We can look at this current administration and have that sinking feeling, as I did on election night, or we can decide that we're going to stand up and really change the context.
So that was Alison van Diggelen reporting from Silicon Valley. So there you have Silicon Valley, it seems, on one side of the country, geographically, physically, maybe even ideologically, from the White House?
It's never as extreme as that, though, is it? Because there will be a lot of people who live in San Francisco, who we hear from there, whose politics are very different. A certain sector of the tech community have been enlivened by the election of Trump to deploy their skills in particular ways. And it's always good when people get engaged in politics. I'm reminded of Evgeny Morozov's book, To Save Everything, Click Here, because part of me wonders how much real engagement these applications, these websites will get, that there's a danger of it descending into what you call clicktivism, where people think that it's enough just to have done it. So the app that encourages people to phone their representatives about issues that matter them, on whatever side of the political fence they are, I think is a really important development there.
Because it's literally a bit more active than just clicking on something that you agree with. You have to take some kind of action.
Exactly. It's not just liking or doing something. It's designed to take you through to being really engaged with politics. And at a time when the US does seem slightly fractured, it's good to have things which encourage people to be politically active and argue for the things they believe in. Then you see which way it goes.
Yeah, indeed. And I think I'd add to that, follow people on Twitter with whom you don't agree is one way, I think, personally, of helping to address some of this. OK, Bill, thank you.